There was an Easter program, and five-year-old Billy had a role in it. He was to recite Luke 24:6. He is not here, he is risen. And he practiced and he practiced. Easter day came, and he's up in front of the church, and he froze. He forgot what it was, and the director walked over, leaned down, whispered in his ear. Billy smiles, walks over to the microphone, very confidently exclaimed, "He is not here, he is in prison." Well, he wasn't entirely wrong. Jesus is not here in the grave, and he was in a prison of sorts in the tomb, but it could not hold him. As we know, he is risen. And today in John chapter 20, by the way, as Catherine read, not in the notes, but I have to point out, maybe it's the athlete in me, John mentioning twice that he was a faster runner than the other guy. A little bit competitive there, John, wouldn't you think? I outran him, and then I got there first. Okay, very good. But we see today three gifts, and here's the big idea for today. Easter gives us three gifts. In this one passage, we see it, and it is joy for the sorrowful, boldness for the fearful, and faith for the doubter. The very first one is this story of Mary, and we see her sorrow turned to joy. Mary's at the grave, and she's not there for a miracle. Her world has collapsed. Her Savior has died. And we see how grief blinds. She thought Jesus was the gardener. And her sorrow is holy. She is weeping because she loves. And Jesus changes everything with one word. He calls her by name. He says, "Mary." And it's a turning point. And we realize that joy doesn't come from forgetting about our sorrow. It's hearing Jesus say your name in the midst of that sorrow. There was a woman in a church who lost her husband of 46 years, and she couldn't say Harold's name or listen to somebody else say his name without grief overcoming her and her wanting to leave the room. And one Easter morning, her three-year-old grandson was visiting. He's sitting at the kitchen table, and he's coloring with crayons, and he draws a squiggly little grave and a small yellow sun above it, and he exclaims, "Grandma, look, Jesus is alive." And then there was a little stick figure next to it, and he says, "And that's Grandpa Harold. He's alive too, right?" And for the first time since his passing, this expected wave of grief didn't overcome her. Something cracked. And the name of her husband was no longer a wound, but a promise. And she took the yellow crayon and she made the sun even bigger. And she smiled and she said, "Yes, Grandpa Harold is alive too." What is the grief that maybe is creeping in for you? Is it a loss? Is it an unfulfilled dream? Maybe a different version of yourself than you would expect, or a different season of life that you're experiencing? Here's what we see from Mary, and that is, sorrow doesn't have to have the final word. You know, the resurrection doesn't erase our tears. It gives them hope and meaning. Death doesn't have the last word, neither does grief. And the empty tomb means every goodbye is temporary. The resurrection doesn't mean we stop missing people. It means we stop missing them forever. Jesus meets Mary where she is, not in glory with thunder. He appeared as a gardener, ordinary, gentle, near. He speaks her name. He doesn't say, stop crying. He's gentle. And in our own circumstances, we see Jesus comes in the garden of grief much more often than in a mountaintop of certainty. Again, she wasn't looking for a miracle. She was looking for a body, and he met her there anyway. For us, we realize Jesus doesn't scold our tears. He collects them. And we don't have to fix our sorrow before we come to the tomb. He wants us to just come. The resurrection doesn't bypass our pain. It cuts directly through it. Grief isn't a lack of faith. It's the shape of love in a broken world. Jesus meets us where we are. That's the first gift, joy for the sorrowful. Have you felt like maybe God has let you down or abandoned you? It's then where he whispers your name. Robert. I hope there's not a Robert here. And then it's up to you on how you respond to him whispering your name. The second is this. In the group of disciples, we see their fear turning to boldness. They're behind locked doors from the religious leaders. They are in fear. They've heard the empty tomb report, but we see how fear is irrational. It doesn't obey logic. Fear locks doors. It makes us small. And similar to Mary, he doesn't scold them. His first words, peace be with you. You know, boldness isn't the absence of fear. It is the presence of peace, which is bigger than fear. There was a retired military officer who was a closet Christian for over 40 years. He went to church regularly, but shame and embarrassment kept him from ever speaking about his faith. He thought he would look foolish. He was invited to his 7-year-old granddaughter's school play, and they were all assigned a great leader. And as they stood in front of the class, the teacher asked them who their leader was. And the first said Abraham Lincoln, and one said Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And when his granddaughter was asked, who is your leader? She said, Jesus. Well, they had introduced who these leaders were, and Jesus wasn't on the list, and people laughed nervously. And in that laughter, she looked at her grandpa and said, Grandpa? Grandpa, you're scared to tell people about Jesus, but Harriet Tubman wasn't scared, and Jesus isn't afraid of you being scared either. And again, nervous laughter, and the grandpa stood up, and he said, she's right. If a 7-year-old can be bold in public like this, I can also. Fear has kept me silent, but I want that to end today. And that is boldness in the midst of fear. Fear locks doors, and here we see a child's honesty breaking through that. The disciples got peace, and then breath, and then boldness. And this retired military officer got a laugh, and then freedom after his embarrassment. But the same result, the locked room was open. Here's what we see from the resurrection for the fearful, that it doesn't remove locked doors, it walks right through them. Fear says hide, and the resurrection says peace. The same power that caused Jesus to rise opens locked doors. And we don't need our circumstances always to change. We just need, in the midst of that fear, for that peace to be bigger. Like Mary, he met them where they were, He didn't wait for them to come out. He went in. He didn't scold them and say, be brave. He said, peace be with you. And he meets us in our hiding place. He doesn't wait for us to come out. Because we know locked doors don't keep Jesus out. They're no match for the Lord motivated by love. Here's what we take away. Fear locks doors, but the resurrection unlocks them from the inside out. And it's interesting, in this case, Jesus didn't knock on the door. He just showed up. He showed up in the room, and it shows that our fear is no match for his peace. What is your locked door? Is it fear of a conversation, a step maybe that you've been urged to take and are afraid to take, a witness that you've been silent about? Again, Christ comes and says, peace, and that peace can be boldness for us. And finally, we see Thomas, doubt turn to faith. Thomas wasn't with, as we saw in the reading in John 20, he wasn't with the disciples the first time. And he said, unless I see the nail-scarred hands, I won't believe. And it's important to realize he's not a rebel. He's not an unbeliever. He's just doubting. He's being honest. And Jesus shows up and he doesn't rebuke Thomas. He says, put your finger here. And he offers a blessing for everyone in the room and for us as well. He said, blessed are those who believe who have not seen. Because we know doubt isn't the opposite of faith. Certainty is. And faith is what we do with our doubt. The resurrection doesn't demand blind faith. It offers scarred hands. Jesus didn't say, just believe. He said, put your finger here. He met Thomas where he was. Doubt doesn't disqualify. Thomas got an invitation, not a lecture. He showed up, and he shows up for us. Jesus meets us at our, I need to see it to believe it. And he doesn't fear our questions. He welcomes them. From Thomas, we have these takeaways. We see that Jesus doesn't walk away from honest doubters. He walks to them. That I can say, I don't know, and still be standing in the presence of the risen Christ. And I think of Peter and Judas on the same boat, same storm, same Jesus. And Peter doubted as he walked on the water. He saw the waves. He felt the wind, and he started sinking. And in his fear and doubt, he called out, Lord, save me. That's doubt, imperfect, scared, but still reaching out, still calling out. Judas didn't doubt. He betrayed and walked away. That's unbelief. And doubt still gets out of the boat and calls on the Lord. Even when sinking, unbelief doesn't bother to get out of the boat. You know, doubt is a question asked from within the relationship. Unbelief is a decision to walk away from the relationship. Doubt says, I'm not sure I can trust you. Unbelief says, I won't trust you. Doubt shows up. Unbelief stops showing up. Doubt says and prays, help my unbelief. Unbelief doesn't pray at all. Doubt reaches. Unbelief walks away. That's the third gift, faith for the doubter. I can be a doubter and be welcomed in his presence. Where are you struggling to believe? What are you struggling to believe? That God is good? That he heard your prayer? Jesus doesn't fear our doubts. The resurrection isn't a doctrine. It's a person who walked out of a tomb. And ultimately, Easter doesn't explain away our pain, our fear, our doubt. It meets them head on. And the empty tomb is an announcement. Jesus is alive, and he's looking to reconnect with us, each of us, individually. He meets us where we are, not where we were, not where we're trying to get to, but right here. If you're weeping at the tomb, he says your name. If you're hiding behind locked doors, he walks in. If you're doubting in the back of the room, he comes to you. And ultimately, the resurrection doesn't demand that we climb to God. It is God climbing down to us, meeting us where we are. Mary got her name. The disciples got peace. Thomas got scars. What do you need? The tomb is empty. There's no place we can go where Jesus isn't already there. And it's a beautiful thing that the resurrection doesn't demand we fix ourselves. It is the announcement that Jesus came to find us right here in sorrow, in doubt, in fear. Three gifts: joy for the sorrowful, boldness for the fearful, faith for the doubter. Which gift do you need most today? Let's pray. Risen Christ, you gave Mary joy, the disciples boldness, and Thomas faith. Give each of these dear people the gift each one most needs today. Meet us in our sorrow, our fear, our doubt. The tomb is empty. You are alive, and that changes everything. Amen.